Dr. Brown, so glad you're back here this morning. How are you? I had, of course, a pretty busy news week, as I'm sure you guys did even at the hospital. Pfizer's announcement was huge. That went national pretty quickly when they said that they they're one step closer, really. They've got a 90% effectiveness for the COVID vaccine, and it sounds like they've just got to wait for a couple more weeks for that second dose to go through, and then they'll start being able to release it probably by the end of December, early January, for the first group of people here in Connecticut. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought that was excellent. I think it's, you know, it's a great company. I think they're putting out a product that is, you know, high quality. The safety numbers are looking really good. And I think it's getting to that time. I mean, as we see now in the second wave, it's sort of affecting everybody. So I think it's a great thing, and hopefully we can get that. Hopefully the studies continue to look great, and we'll be able to get processing and get it out to our patients.
Interestingly, although I'm not too surprised, the governor said he's not going to mandate that people need to get the COVID vaccine, very similar to how it is for the flu vaccine. What did you think about that, though? I mean, do you think that if you keep it as a voluntary basis that we're going to have the majority of people go and get the vaccine?
I think starting off as a voluntary is reasonable. I really do. And I think what we really want to do is focus on those high-risk patients that really need to get it. Again, this is a brand-new vaccine. We know that there's, you know, we know that about 95% of the people who actually get infected have a very, you know, mild version, or at least it resolves without, you know, a lot of effect. So it's really those 5% and even those 1% that potentially get intubated. Those are the ones that we need to really be looking out for. So again, I think as we figure out who are optimal to get this vaccine, would be the patients who we should focus on, or the people we should focus on.
Now, Dr. Brown, I wanted to save the majority of this interview to talk about something that just kind of came to my mind earlier this week. I think I agree with you. It's astonishing. It's an amazing thing. I feel very comfortable that Pfizer is coming out with this, a very reputable company. My question, though, is it's kind of hard to overlook the fact that we haven't even gone a full calendar year since COVID struck the U.S., which technically happened in January of this year. And we are going to have a vaccine ready, which is great. And the effectiveness is over 90%, which is better than even our flu vaccine. So my question to you, which I'm sure is a little bit big, it's a very broad question, but it kind of begs, you know, wondering, when you have something like cancer per se, you know, you have people, for example, who have been raising money for decades for ovarian cancer. Let's just use that as an example. And we still don't even have a vaccine that can prevent that, or even give us a shot at even knowing how to keep from getting cancer. And we're losing so many people from cancer, maybe not in a calendar year, but we are still losing millions of people to cancer overall. So how do we explain that we can get a vaccine for COVID out in 12 months, but in 30 years, we still can't get a cancer vaccine?
Melissa, that's a great question. It's a very big question.
Yes.
But let me try to explain it sort of into some simpler terms and give you some of the things that we've actually been able to do. So the first thing that I really like to say is that we do have a vaccine for certain types of cancer. We have a vaccine for cervical cancer. So right now there is a cancer that is related to a virus, interesting enough. So it's related to the human papillomavirus. If we treat that, then we can actually prevent people from getting cancer. So there are some vaccines that are actually out and working for cancer. The problem is, if we look at it, the difference between the virus and the human genome, and that's really what we're talking about. When you talk about this virus, we're talking about a virus that, you know, if it's lucky, it'll be 100,000 units that make up its genome, as opposed to the humans that make up 6.4 billion units. I mean, it's a huge difference between those two. And cancer, in its simplest term, is actually a mutation of our own genome. It's our mutation, making it very difficult when you have something that's yours, that's actually yours, it's your mutation. When we have that mutation, it makes it really hard to eliminate that. That's why a lot of the cancer therapies have a lot of side effects, because essentially we are killing cells, we're killing the cancer cells, but also we are potentially killing the cells that are around it. and causing other issues. So you can see that this is very complex in the aspect of, you know, there are certain aspects that we can focus on. If we can find the cause of the cancer, then we can make attempts to prevent it from happening. But once it occurs, it gets really tricky to try to treat it.
Do you think, talking to Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, do you think now that we saw such a quick turnaround for COVID that we're going to see this for future vaccines? Like, do you think the FDA is going to approve things quicker than we've seen before? Or do you think it's just because we're in a very unprecedented time that we had to get a COVID vaccine sooner rather than later?
Also, really interesting question. Love the science on this, and we could do a whole course on this. But let me see if I can just kind of narrow it down. So we've actually changed a little bit of how we do vaccines and how we've developed vaccines. As you probably heard on the news, we've been using an mRNA technique. This is different from what we've used before. So this is a brand new technology. The mRNA technology, so this is using, again, a certain type of genetic code that is related to the genome of this organism. So what we're able to do is we're able to identify that quickly, we're able to develop it quickly in the lab, and then we're able to develop a vaccine very quickly. So to give you sort of the amazing thing about science is we've actually had this vaccine. We had a form of this vaccine in, you know, February, March of this year. It's just been a matter of making sure that it is stable, it is safe, and that it can actually be, you know, reproduced and then actually brought to the people who need it. So again, I think that any future outbreaks, any issues with future viruses, I think we can develop a vaccine a lot faster. The other question that you ask is that the delays of actually getting out. So the FDA has actually done things a lot faster in this. So we've allowed a lot of emergency use or emergency use authorization. So because we do that, this is a lot faster than you would expect because we're in the middle of a pandemic. I think there's a lot of reasons to have these checks and balances and spending a little bit more time making sure that vaccines are going to work and they're going to be effective. Not to say that this is not effective. Again, I think everybody's really been focused on it, and I think safety's been a major focus on it. But I think as we move forward, the other vaccines that we develop, we now have new technology during this pandemic, and we have the ability to develop these vaccines a lot faster.
Dr. Brown, you're a true gem. Thank you so much for taking my incredibly huge questions, and I appreciate it. And I will talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Jim. Melissa, have a good day.
You too.